Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we land in Connecticut to speak with Kevin Brown, the chairman of the Mohegan Tribal Gaming Council, on recent developments with the tribe and its gaming businesses. Kevin Brown was elected as chairman of the Mohegan Tribal Gaming Council in 2013 in its first attempt. Red Eagle spent 25 years in the U.S. Army with deployment experience and management expertise at stateside bases. He has several degrees and served as an analyst in the Pentagon. With extensive leadership and organizational management experience, Brown was the perfect choice to lead the Mohegan Tribe at this time as it is facing competition from Massachusetts, diversifying its economy, building yet another expansion to its flagship property, Mohegan Sun, as well as a possible international expansion with a South Korean integrated resort. He spoke with me at Mohegan Sun in October. Kevin Brown, thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. It's good to finally meet you. I saw you speak in San Diego at NIGA earlier this year, and I was very impressed. And I've always been impressed with the tribe, so just to have you in leadership here just kind of cements the respect I have for the tribe.
Well, thanks, Roger. And that San Diego conference, as we've discussed, was well-timed from the standpoint of the trajectory that I think Mohegan is on.
Right.
And it was an honor to be on that keynote panel talking about the future of Indian gaming.
Okay. Let's talk about your background a little bit. You spent a lot of years in the Army.
I did. It's fun being a tribal member and being from this town.
Mm-hmm.
When people ask you, so where are you from?
Right.
Well, I'm from right here.
Right.
I used to run wind sprints to prepare for football practice.
Yeah.
up and down this ground long before this casino stood on it. I left from here and went to West Point in the late 80s,
mm-hmm.
and then I launched into what was a 24-year military career.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, being chairman of the tribe, is you get reactions that are very unmilitary, I would imagine.
That's funny. A lot of folks have a sort of a misconception about the very hierarchical structure of the military, mm-hmm. and the orders and following orders, but the fact of the matter is, and I think we may have actually talked about this before, the last 10 to 14 years of combat, mm-hmm. and the deployments that come with it put soldiers in a very uncertain and violent environment where they have to be very agile and adaptive.
Sure. Uh-huh.
I've got those experiences under my belt dealing with tribal sheikhs in different countries,
sure. Right, right.
Let alone my own tribal politics here in the U.S.
Well, you know, your tribe is I think, unique in Indian country in that you've really got your members involved now in the management of the company. I mean, Bobby Soperon down. I think everybody I ran into today has some kind of tribal
connection.
We're
very proud of that.
Yeah.
And it was a long-term goal, mm-hmm. and part of the vision of this entire development. And we have, as you just mentioned, reached probably the penultimate here,
right.
by having Bobby now seated as of 1 October,
right.
as the heir to Micheletis, and fully in the seat as the CEO and president of MTGA.
Right.
And as you said, it trickles right down to Ray Pinot here,
sure.
on this,
yep.
property, who's the president and general, mm-hmm. manager of this property. Kara Fox LaRose down in Pocono Downs.
Right,
in
I met her at G2E.
In Pennsylvania. She's the AGM.
Yeah,
she's absolutely. Assistant general manager of the Pocono property.
Yeah.
So then everybody else we could sit here and enumerate as
right.
well. But yes,
right.
lots of tribal members. And, you know, we're proud of that, but as I said on the panel in San Diego, we also recognized early on that if we weren't careful, we'd make the mistake of accelerating down that path too quickly to our own detriment.
Right.
And I think that we were very fortunate,
mm-hmm.
and very well advised in the early years to recognize that we needed to have industry experts,
mm-hmm.
guys like Mitchell,
right.
And others that have been on our team, to cultivate, mentor, and bring these folks,
sure.
along to the point that we're at now.
Yeah. And you have had excellent people down through the years. I've known Mitchell for many years as well, and
right.
A true professional, and
right.
and somebody who really understands the business.
Yeah.
And now I think the people you brought on really understand it as well. Some of the things you've done, certainly in Pocono, and now with the alliance with the resorts in Atlantic City, and
yep.
and the Cowlitz Tribe as well. Right? So you're building out by utilizing the knowledge that you built.
Yeah, I mean we're doing two things at once, right? We've both educated and inspired tribal members into positions of responsibility, and at the same time not become insular but have taken that expertise, as you just mentioned, into areas that are going to make us become, as I like to say, not just a little, you know, look, when we were recognized, we were federally recognized in 1994.
Right.
Our chief at the time, Ralph Sturgis, one of his first proclamations was, we're no longer seen as the little tribe that used to live on the hill.
Right.
I mean, what better way to characterize what we've become in the gaming world?
Right.
We aren't just a native gaming organization. We are a commercial gamer.
You're a gaming giant, I think, in the industry itself. People look up to what you've accomplished. You know, I was talking to Tom Cantone earlier about the image that of entertainment that really focuses around this property and now around all the other properties that you're doing. So
Tom does a great job.
And the non-gaming uses that you've done, this is on the cutting edge of gaming right now. So, you know, the tribe is certainly recognized as one of the most knowledgeable gaming entities, not just tribes in the country.
Yeah, and gaming and non-gaming, as you said. I mean, Tom Cantone will tell you, if he didn't tell you multiple times, you know, every other week we've got an A-list act in that arena.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the winter, we've got a professional basketball team that we own and operate.
Right.
Now, in the early winter, heading into the early spring, we have a professional lacrosse team playing in this arena. We have boxing. We have MMA. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just a great place to come to.
Sure.
And we'd like to think that we provide that same sort of expertise in every other venture that we touch.
Well, I can see how you're preparing for the challenge of the casinos in Massachusetts.
Right.
You know it's coming. You know you're not going to make the mistake Atlantic City did, which was kind of ignore it. You're trying to build up to being competitive with them from day one. So you know, give me a sense of how that strategy is working out right now.
Yeah, it's twofold. It's moving down two parallel paths at the same time, and it seems that everyone I talk to has allowed themselves to get pigeonholed into thinking we're only doing one or the other.
Right.
We are both improving and developing this property to make it that much more of a destination tourist location, an integrated resort location, and looking for other ways to directly compete with Massachusetts by developing other gaming locations. And in the news quite a bit lately is our joint venture with the Mashantucket Pequot Tribe, who own and operate Foxwoods, which... You know, we could consume this entire interview just talking about the history of that and what that means for two tribes that literally split off from each other in the 1600s and then competed against each other in this corner of New England to now come together to fight against Massachusetts.
No question. It is pretty amazing that you are coming together because you competed pretty viciously for a lot of years there, and of course like any other casino entity would at that point.
And we still will.
We
will still want to continue to thrive in each of our individual ventures, but we recognize, as I've said a couple of times now, sort of translating some of my military experiences into this. There's an old Arab proverb that I became very familiar with. As I try to create alliances with Sunni sheikhs and Shia sheikhs, and maybe try to get them to work together.
Right.
The Arab proverb is, me against my enemy, me and my brother against my cousin, me, my brother, and my cousin against an external enemy.
Yeah.
And that's where we are.
Sure.
And
it's just
business when you get right down to it.
Right.
We're not going to roll over is
right.
the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can see that this joint venture has been taken seriously in all of the press recently about how MGM is assessing or reassessing the scope of their project in Springfield.
Sure.
We are not, as we were once alleged to be doing, going to build a slots in the box kind of an environment. In fact, we're going to build a first class casino like the one we operate here in Uncasville. And we're going to directly compete with whatever MGM puts up north, which, as its size and scope has been recently announced as coming down by 14%.
Right.
Well, that box is getting smaller, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. You know. No question. Yeah. And the cooperation between the tribes so far is fairly smooth.
Yeah, it's been first rate.
Yeah.
I mean, we just had a board meeting yesterday, a JV board meeting, which myself and Bobby from Mohegan sit on that board.
Mm-hmm.
Felix Rappaport and Rodney Butler, the chairman of the tribe, sit on it from their side. And we have a fifth independent board member who we have selected but have not yet announced, who's got a background steeped in gaming regulation and commissions. So it's a great neutral party. We've had a series of meetings. Yesterday's was with our RFP lead to talk about how the RFP process is moving along and and what our options are beginning to look like. Mm-hmm. And we're very confident that by the end of November, we'll have a firm grasp on the right municipality that has the right development partner mm-hmm. for where we want to go with this thing.
Let's talk about Korea. You just got back from Korea.
Right.
Sounds like a tremendous opportunity there. You know, we all know that gaming in Asia is booming. You might even be taking advantage of the slump in Macau because people don't want to be seen as going to Macau. So maybe they'll go to Korea instead.
There can't help but be a second order effect of that. Mm-hmm. I would think. Look, we all know that anything bright and shiny and brand new has an initial uptick.
Right.
And so, no matter what the landscape looks like, if we win the license in Korea, and of course we can only hope that we're going to,
right.
and things are looking good, we'll come out of the gate strong. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And I'll list a couple of the reasons why I think that for you. But even after that initial bow wave hits, I think that the second order effect of Macau sort of ratcheting down on the number of tables and ratcheting down on the junket operators and all those things can't help but have a great second bump for us to get us through. But look, we're talking about a potential property positioned strategically right on the Incheon International Airport grounds.
Mm-hmm.
You will fly in, Roger, to that airport, and you will see the Mohegan Sun Inspire project on the north side of the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And within 5 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes, you can be in the front door. If you're a private jet operator, within 2 minutes, you're in the front door because we'll have an FBO that's connected to the site. And in the broadest sense, we're talking about the ninth largest airport in the world that has 42 million visitors through it every year. They're building a second terminal that'll bump that to 60 million visitors a year.
Right.
They have plans for a third terminal and two more runways to make that 90 million visitors a year. All of that driven by a Korean government desire to increase tourism to the country.
Right.
We want to be a player in that. And it's looking very good.
I guess being a partner with the actual hotel or airport authority can't hurt either, right?
Strategically, we are in a very, very good place.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
What was the thought initially to get involved in Asia? I mean, there's been a few instances of American Indian tribes going overseas and trying to get involved in gaming operations there, and frankly, none of them have been very successful. What made you look over there?
Well, two things I would say, but first and foremost, I don't know if there's such a thing as a Pyrrhic loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear about the Pyrrhic victory.
Right.
But the Massachusetts pursuit, the Massachusetts competition, was sort of a Pyrrhic loss for us because what it resulted in, the silver lining is, to go back to the beginning of our interview, the world, current operators, those that are seeking to have operators come in, have begun to recognize, wow, Mohegan is, they're in that upper crust of operators, and we want them.
Yeah.
And that this initial connection to Korea came as a result of not landing the Boston casino, but someone seeing that we could compete toe-to-toe with a guy like Steve Wynn and saying, come on, let's go.
Right.
And the second thing, and it's sort of a soft approach, but there is an affinity for Native American culture in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of the land bridge, Alaska to Asia,
and
or the other direction, depending on which historian you talk to.
Exactly. Right.
And so that has also had sort of a hook for us in this thing.
Yeah. Well, it's an exciting project, and you know, it just goes to show you that how the tribal gaming authority is looking to expand and diversify.
Yeah.
You know, out. I mean, hopefully, this property will still continue to thrive.
Right.
But you still have to be prepared and be able to grow.
Listen, on the side of, so everything we've discussed up to this point has been in my role as chairman of the management board.
Right.
Myself and the other eight counselors are the management board for our gaming ventures. But we have a dual role, and as a council, we have to see for the health and welfare and growth and support of our population, of our tribe, writ large.
Right.
And we have to be constantly seeking ways to ensure that. I mean, from a very native and cultural and philosophical standpoint, we talk about the fact that this tribe has existed for 13 generations, and it's our role and goal as a council to see their growth and sustenance into the 13 future generations.
Sure.
We have to do things like this. And it was my central theme and message, Roger, during that NIGA keynote panel about the future of Indian gaming. What I told everybody in attendance in one sentence that was really only reiterated by everything else I said is you have to get off the reservation and you have to get outside of gaming. Right. You have to diversify in that way. IGRA was central and crucial to Indian tribes being able to generate gaming revenue, and that's great. But in order to be part of the larger integrated economy that will never collapse, you have to get outside of your comfort zone.
Sure. And I think, you know, you've done that also within the community. You know, we talked about how many tribal members are in leadership positions now, but you've also got people from the community, from where the tribe grew up, that, that you're incorporating into the management as well.
Yeah, we are proud to talk about the spirit of Aquai, the spirit of welcoming. And it really does come from a very historical standpoint from our chief, Uncas, who initiated the split from the Pequot tribe.
Right.
The wolf clan of the Mohegans came across the river from where Foxwoods and the Pequots are, because he saw that the only way forward for him and his tribe, the only way he could ensure their survivability for 13 more generations, was to cooperate with the English settlers, show them how to live here, and in return, in kind, you know, be more prosperous as a tribe. That same spirit of a cooperation and welcoming is how we operate with our local communities, no matter where we are.
Right.
Korea, here, Pennsylvania, doesn't matter.
Right. Well, Kevin, it's great to finally meet you. You know, you certainly are as inspirational as you were at NIGA that day, and I'm really glad that we could sit down and talk. But let's stay in touch. I'd like to follow up on this, certainly after the Korean situation is resolved, and we can talk about how you're going to bring that spirit over to Korea.
Talk to you in a couple months.
Great.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. If you want to read more about this issue or any issue in the gaming industry, read our magazine, GGB Magazine, or visit ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the gaming industry, subscribe to GGB News. For more information, visit ggbnews.com. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.